Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How is everybody doing on the Sunday before Thanksgiving? I have a very special broadcast for you today. Happy Thanksgiving! I want you guys this year to view this as this may be your last Thanksgiving. You need to view it like that because you know, you need to realize that our time is just but a fleeting moment. Amen. So, I prepared a program for you, and I hope that you enjoy it this morning. Papa is with us. He's watching, and he will be addressing everyone at the end. So, let me get my screen set up here. Good morning, good morning. All right, let's see here. All right, very good, very good. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I pray that you all are having a wonderful weekend, getting ready for Thanksgiving. This morning, I have the honor to bring the word and to break bread with you guys this morning. And I want to remind you guys that we do have the 75% off right now. You need this in the coming days because God has used my gifts as a modern day scribe where I have scribed what is happening on the global scene. And I am very grateful to have been able to even write and to partner with heaven to bring an understanding to the end time church. So as someone today that's going to talk to you about a grateful heart in the last days, I feel like with what I've been through and all of the things that we know is coming and the things that I've addressed, that this is going to be very meaningful for all of us because the Lord always knows what's over there on the next day. Amen. So we're going to praise him in our today. All right. So let's go ahead and get started.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
All right, Bride. All right. I found some music that I was able to sing to. I was so happy about I was so happy about it. Hold on just a moment here. All right, hold on just a moment, Bride. I had to change something real quick. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. This is A Grateful Heart in the Last Days. Is a cherished time that brings people together to express gratitude for the blessings in their lives. Rooted in centuries of tradition, it serves as a moment to pause, reflect, and celebrate abundance through shared meals and heartfelt connections. Yay, there we are. Hello, everybody. The meaning of gratitude. Families gather for the family feast, sharing a hearty meal that symbolizes unity, abundance, and gratitude. Prayer and reflection before the meal reminds everyone of the blessings they share throughout the year. Parades and performances fill the day with color, music, and excitement, bringing communities together in joy. We have many Thanksgiving traditions here in the United States. Thanksgiving traditions are deeply personal, often blending generations of customs. Whether it's cooking or storytelling, these gatherings reinforce family bonds and cultural identity. And let me just say, for our family for Thanksgiving, we like to stuff our turkey. I know in the South, that's a thing. We really like to stuff our turkey. Up in the North, they like to like Dennis. He likes to, what's that called, Dennis? Not really roast his turkey. Dennis, what is that called that you do, that you like to do the turkey? But different areas of the country like to have different traditions. Some of them don't stuff their turkey, but I really like to stuff my turkey. And I have a big spread for Thanksgiving. Love to have the kids come over, and I have all kinds of smoked turkey. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Smoked turkey. But I like to have a full table at Thanksgiving, and to have my family and stuff there. It's not the same when your kids get older, because now they have to choose between two families, or some of them even live out of state, so it makes it hard. But Thanksgiving has always been a time of gratefulness and thanksgiving. So it's a table full of memories. Roasted turkey, the hallmark of Thanksgiving, representing abundance and shared prosperity. Stuffing and gravy, rich savory flavors that provide the warmth of home-cooked traditions. Cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes. So everybody has memories when it comes to Thanksgiving. But in this end time hour, we're going to have to really cherish those memories. You know what I mean? So we have symbols of the season. And then the role of family and friends, sitting around telling stories, laughing with each other. Just the family gathering is very important at Thanksgiving. Now, modern Thanksgiving, families embrace cultural diversity by blending cuisines, or I like gathering with my sons whenever their wives cook, because they're all Hispanic. My one son, he's married to a girl from Colombia, and the other one is from Venezuela. And then my daughter is married to an Italian, and I'm married to a German. So our family's very cultural. It's very cultural, but I do love, experiencing other foods and stuff. But gratitude turns what we have into enough. And this is the message today. Living with gratitude every day. Call your family. Do a video call if you have to on that day to family members that are away, out of state. Pray for your family members. Be thankful on Thanksgiving. Now, let's talk about the heart of Thanksgiving. Did you know that Psalm 100 is entitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Remember that song? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Okay, now, verse number 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Isn't that beautiful? Let's see if I can get this over here. Oh, it doesn't make it a big screen. Let me try this one. There we go. That'll work. Except that this is not the news. Let me change that. There we go. All right. So, let's continue here. Be thankful when you do understand. And be thankful when you do not understand. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples about that. We love him when he says yes. And y'all know I've said this a lot in many of my preachings. We love him when he says yes. And we love him when he says no. Remember Corrie Ten Boom? Have y'all ever seen her movie called The Hiding Place? I really encourage you guys to watch that movie, The Hiding Place. It is really powerful. Okay, let's watch this.
We were brought into concentration camps, first in Holland and then later in Germany. But the good thing was that there I was together with Betsy, my sister. We had lived together 53 years, always in the same house. And then I had been away from her 4 months, and now we were together again. And I will never forget that what I saw in Betsy. I remember that there was a man who was beating her. And when she came to me, I saw that her face was really very red and swollen by the beatings. I said, Betsy, has that man beaten you? She said, yes, and I am so sorry for that man. You see, that was Betsy. He had a tremendous love. And that was what I experienced. I learned so much from Betsy. I will never forget when we came into Ravensbrück. That was a camp that was far too full. We had to live with 700 in a room that was built for 200. And when I came there and I saw these rags on which we had to do a kind of mattress straw, I said, oh, Betsy, it is full of fleas and lice. And Betsy said, Corrie, we must thank for God for everything. I said, I cannot thank God for fleas. And she said, we have to. But do you know what happened? We had a tremendous chance to give the Bible message to these people who were so packed together. Twice a day I gave a Bible message, or Betsy, and it was a forbidden book, the Bible. But never there came a guard or an officer into our room because they were afraid to get lice or fleas from us. So Betsy was quite right to thank for fleas, for if we had not had these fleas, we could not have brought the gospel to these many people.
I love that story of Corrie Ten Boom. I really encourage you guys to go watch that. It's a very, very powerful movie. But she is saying they was all in the camp and the officers could not come in because of the fleas and the lice. But because of that, they could preach the gospel. And when you watch the movie, you see the miracles that happened and the people that got saved and how the Lord really ministered to them in the middle of their sorrow. They were thankful. That's why her sister was saying, be thankful for the fleas and the lice, because we can preach the gospel here. Now, we are in the end of days. There is not much time left. I've told you guys stories about praying with people on their deathbed and how, you know, they was 101, 110. And they all, it seemed like that they were only alive 5 minutes. They said, it's so fast. You know, and they was not on their bed saying, oh, I wish I would have had that job, or oh, I wish I would have had that Lamborghini. I just so sad I didn't get all the material thing. No, material things mean nothing. This is only temporary. This world is but a fleeting moment. This is why I'm telling you guys, there is not much time left. When we say this is the last days, when we say this is the end of days, it's a time for us to see, you know, we only have just a few days left. We only have just a fleeting moment. to preach the gospel and to obey the Lord and, you know, to please the Lord while we're here with the time that's left. So I really encourage you to reflect on the life that you have now, where you're at, the disappointments thereof, the unexpectations that you have about what you wanted for your life that didn't happen, the dreams you had that didn't happen. Like I told you guys the other day, I was in my prayer closet out here, and because my husband had made me a beautiful little, you know, rocking seat for me to sit in while I pray out here. And I was crying to the Lord, and I told him, Lord, there's some dreams that I have not fulfilled yet, you know, like, because I know what's coming to me. But I'm like, what happened to that? You know, all them dreams that you have given me about a radio station and all this other stuff, you know. And so I was repenting about what I did to miss the mark somewhere in my path. You know what I mean? Like, but all of those things, your expectations that are not met, your dreams that did not happen, and all of those things, we just lay them down today and just have a heart of gratitude. Okay, Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for our time that we have had together, Lord. And we give you our past and we trust you for our tomorrow, see. We are grateful with all that we have and all that we have had and all that we have done. You see, it's a attitude of the heart. So we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, it says in Psalm 118, verse 29. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Isn't that beautiful? That's Psalm 91. Now, I am reading this book right now. This is Torben Sondergaard, and he does a ministry. And he was in prison here in the United States. I think it was like 2021 to 2023 or something like that. But 412 days persecuted for Christ, it's coming. Are you ready? And so I want to read you what he wrote in this one part here. Okay. He says, okay. I spent hours and hours just sitting on my bed, reading and reading. I got hard skin on my butt, something I had never had before. I cried a lot after those ICE officers had been here. I didn't understand what was going on. But today when I look back, I am so thankful he did not take me out then. And I know today why. I know today that if I had come out at that time, I would have come out a mess. I would have come out full of fear. I would have come out not ready and strong, but broken and weak. And I would come out where I would not be a blessing, for the body of Christ is body of Christ at all. I would be the opposite. I would have said, be careful, everyone. Don't go there. Keep away. Stop doing what you're doing. Don't take any chances. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. This was why God did not take me out. There is a lot I still need to learn, and therefore he kept me in here. There was freedom I needed in here before I could come out. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. Many people take this verse out of context and think, hey, I can be the best football player in the world, and I can be the best singer in the world. I can do everything if Jesus strengthens me. But if you read what Paul is saying in context, in the verse before that, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, Philippians 4:12. And then comes, I can do all things through Him, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. Paul is saying that even if we go through tough times, and even if we have nothing, even if it is challenging, we can do it because Jesus Christ gives us the strength to get through it. This is what I needed to learn, and many people out there need to learn this too. I needed to learn this, and so many other things were still waiting to be revealed and experienced. So I am thankful I did not come out then, and it shows that God knew what He was doing. He still does. Isn't that good? Now there's one other part I want to read you. This was when he went to prison and how he felt. There is so much to say about these last 3 months. While writing these words, I am writing on an empty stomach. He's in jail when he's writing this. Because the food was not cooked when we got our lunch today. The meat was raw, so everyone in my pod sent it back. This is not the first time this has happened. There's been several times that we have had to send the food back. Most times it's because they put too much pepper in the food, or we're just unable to eat it. Yes, someone out there does not know how strong pepper is. One time we did not eat it because one person found a maggot in the food. It was very nasty, and none of us wanted to eat that meal. I know of somebody that's in jail right now in Florida, and they said that they feed them just terrible things, like a piece of bologna and that's barely cooked, and then the really cheap white bread, and that's all they get. There are so many stories to tell from the last 9 months. Again, I still don't know how long I will be in this place. 3 days ago, there was another fight and I saw blood running down a friend's face. What a different world it is in here. It is extraordinary to sit here in my cell, locked up after 288 days, still not knowing exactly why I'm here or when I will get out. And then he says, I've often, especially in these last months, thought a lot about my journey till now. Being here alone with little to do but to think. If I had known 28 years ago what my life would bring, I would have done it all over again, even though it has been a hard life in many ways. I love Jesus, and I am thankful for my life. I am grateful for the life that He has given me. And there is truly no other way than His way, and to follow Him, which means together with everything that follows. I will serve Him when life is easy. This is good. And when it is hard and costs me everything. Isn't that beautiful? I still have a lot more to read in this book. One of them was whenever the Homeland Security told him that he was going to have to remain detained because he was obese. And he said he's a very skinny man. He said, I am far from obese. But they said that, you know, at that time when COVID was going on, they said that because of COVID, he was obese and he was a a harm to society. So that's why he had to end up staying longer and couldn't get out on bail. Okay, so let's continue. But that's just another story of how, you know, a heart was grateful in the middle of his prison. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his name, due his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Psalm 7, 17. I would like to show you a little visual of Jesus about giving thanks. If I can go back, hold on.
Jesus lived a life that was filled with thanksgiving. His thankful heart came from a deep love for and trust in his Father. In fact, they were so close. When seeing Jesus, it was like seeing the Father. You could hear the Father in Jesus' words and feel the Father in Jesus' heart. Jesus never doubted his Father's love and committed his life to the mission of saving the world. Through good times and bad, Jesus always responded to his Father by giving thanks. Even when religious leaders or people from his hometown were jealous and wouldn't listen to him, Jesus was filled with thankfulness to God. "I thank you, Father," he prayed, "that you hide these wonderful things from those who think they are wise and show them to little children instead." The people who were mean to Jesus couldn't see the goodness and love of his Father, but he rejoiced that God made his plan of salvation known to people of every age who had childlike faith and were excited to learn about God. Jesus would take away their burdens and give them rest. Even when he faced the impossible, Jesus was still thankful. One day, he was very tired and needed to be alone, but a huge crowd followed him to his quiet spot. Instead of sending them away, he continued to teach them about his Father. The people were tired and hungry, and the only food anyone could find were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There was no way that small amount of food could feed so many, but Jesus gave thanks to God anyway. That's when a miracle happened. Somehow that small lunch fed the crowd of more than 5,000 people, with 12 baskets of food left over. Jesus never stopped thanking his Father, even after his dear friend Lazarus died. When he finally arrived at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, everyone was very sad. Even Jesus started to cry. But he knew what no one else knew. God was about to do something amazing, and Jesus would be shown to be the resurrection and the life. Jesus lifted his head toward heaven and thanked his Father in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear. Then, with the words, "Lazarus, come forth," the man who had been dead for days walked out of the tomb alive again. Even leading up to his...
There you go. You can see that Jesus was very thankful. That came from a Thanksgiving Bible story, being thankful to God, Matthew 11, at sharefaithkids.com. The Bible says in Colossians 4:2 that we are to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, Colossians 4:2. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It reminds me of that song, "Bless the Lord, Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. I got the sweetest text message the other day from this lady. And she was telling me she's really going through a real trial in her life with sickness. And she wrote me to tell me that she has learned not. She was thanking me for that sermon the other day, you know, the power of agreement. And she said that she has learned not to name her sickness, because a lot of people, she was saying her husband was like, we're just going to name that sickness. I forgot her thyroid or whatever. We're going to name this thing. And she's like, no, because, you know, she had just watched that, The Power of Agreement. Don't never name it. Don't never come in agreement with, no, I rebuke you, Satan, you know. But anyways, The Power of Agreement. Give thanks in all circumstances, kind of like the Corrie Ten Boom. Thankful, she saw the good. The sister saw the good in the midst of the bad. You know, the lice and the fleas in the concentration camp. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Bride, I could tell you stories after stories of things that has happened in my life that I did not know why it was happening the way it was. For instance, I have one that comes to my mind. When God sent me to the White House, all I had was a tripod with three cell phones and an iPad. And I put them all on the tripod, and I went live everywhere. You know, I was on all the social medias, you know, back then. And that's all I had. And so I just did what I knew to do and went live. And one day this guy, I forgot what news media he was from, but we was with President Trump, and he was doing this Made in America, big shindig, you know, in front of the White House, where he had all the pomp and circumstance, you know, and all the parade and all that stuff. And he leaned up in my ear and he goes, I thought you said you was a Christian media. I said, I am. And he said, where is your God? Wouldn't he give you a better camera than that? I was like, you old devil. I knew. I was like the devil talking to me, because I already had the devil in my head, you know, where he was like, look at you. All you got over here, you know, is your little bitty phones. And, you know, and so this is what I told the guy. I said, sir, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you see that camera right there that MSNBC's got? He's like, yeah. I said, I used to have a camera like that. I said, but God told me to give it to a minister one time when I interviewed him. He said, I want you to give him all your equipment. And I left his ministry. He had been asking God for television equipment. And this was right before God sent me to the White House. So he made me give it up. So I said, listen here, sir, if God wants me to have a camera, he'll give me a camera. You know? So he goes, well, I never. I'm like, well. So I came back the next week, and God had given me a camera within a week. It was so funny. But anyways, I used to have it, but I was still grateful that I even had something, you know. And then, like I told you guys, that time when I first started ministry back in 2013, and I had that old car that God had given me, you know. And this minister, she's like, "Don't you know how all these ministers make fun of you because of that car you're driving?" I told her, I said, "Ma'am, you go back and tell them ministers that God gave that to me, and I'm very happy with it." And I was. That was the one that was the Toyota Camry with 260,000 miles on it. But the Lord, when you're thankful and you're grateful for where you're at and what you have, God will bless you, you know, because if you just always reach him for that tomorrow and always reach him for that better, and it's, you know, my stuff's not as good as the Joneses and all this other stuff, get over it. I mean, really, because we're only here for a fleeting. There's a lot more important stuff than just material things. Amen. All right, let's continue. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures. That was Psalm 107. Now we're Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought about that. Why do we say all the time, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus? And then I had a revelation one day of why we do that, Bride. We do that because we recognize the covenant that Jesus is. We recognize what he did for us on the cross. You know, Jesus says, if you do in my name, you'll be recognized. You know, it has to be in his name, because you have to recognize what he did, you know, which is the perfect lamb that was slain, tore the veil, you know. This is what made the new covenant. I'm still going to do that sermon about there's not two covenants anymore. There's only one, okay? But anyways, that's why we do it in the name of Jesus. All right, let's continue. This is Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. Pause. I just need to tell you guys. You cannot trust your heart. Let me say that again. You cannot trust your heart. Because your heart is deceitful, is what the Bible says. Your heart is deceitful. See, a lot of times people will say, you know, which is what they try to say with the LGBT. Oh, you can't stop somebody from loving because their heart, you can't tell the heart no. But according to the scripture, you must tell your heart no. Because if you have an adulterous heart where you're lusting after someone's spouse, okay, and you say, oh, I can't help it. My heart is fell in love with them. I'm in love. You know, that's never going to fly. What you do is you tell your heart, shut up. You be quiet. Because I will not have feelings for that man or that woman, because it goes against the word of God. I will not, you know. You have to tell your heart. So there is control over your heart. You have to keep it in the right alignment, which is why we have to read the word, because it examines our heart. You know, I was telling somebody, that Montana couple, you know, that I showed you guys about, I was explaining to him something that's a simple thought that maybe will help you guys as well about trees. This is why it's important to read his word. And I believe we should be reading the physical one more than the online one, because they change that. See, we are trees in God's great garden. And these books are made out of trees. So when this tree is looking at this tree, then the seeds that are on this tree is being implanted into my tree. Okay. So I am bearing fruit of this tree. if somebody sits here and they read a cult or they read, you know, romance novels that gets into all this sexual stuff and, you know, and they're putting it in, the seeds are going in, you know. But when you're reading the word and you're reading off of this tree, the tree of life, Jesus is the tree of life, is what the word says. And he is the word. Did you ever realize that he is the word? So when we read, you know, he's examining our heart. He is examining us as we are examining him. It's really an amazing thing. All right, now let's move on here. But my heart trusts in him, okay? And I am helped, therefore my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30. Sing, 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 bride. Sing. Walk around your house singing. Sing when you're riding down the road. Sing when you're cleaning. You know, sing, sing, sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, bride. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. I just got to pause here. And y'all know I can't preach without bringing in some stuff that I know, because it just pops up in my spirit. So when I see this God of God, it brought up a memory. I was with my family members this weekend, and they was talking about in the school system how the Muslims, we're talking about like in high school, the Muslims are allowed to have an hour a day where they can pray, but not the Christians. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then I just happened to see a video where, I forgot where they said they was, but where the Muslims were gathered in public and were out there being all loud with their prayers and everything, and the town had swallowed them out by their, because they did it right in front of a church, and the church had played their bells to kind of override, you know, their Muslim prayers. But Jesus is the God of gods. This is what they, the enemy out here, does not like, is the fact that Jesus is God. He is, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one, okay? And this is what they don't like, is the fact that Jesus is not just, they recognize that he was here. They recognize that he was a prophet, what they call a prophet, or a teacher, you know. But they don't recognize that he is God. Because if they recognize that he was God, they would have to follow the new covenant. And this is what they don't want. But he is the God of gods. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. For his steadfast love endures. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Isn't that beautiful? His love endures forever. You know that song? His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Okay, now I want to read you guys Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. All right, let's see here. Here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, this is important because the previous chapter, it talks about being handed over to the enemy. And this is where I believe our country is right now. And why did they get handed over? I just got to say this real quick. Okay. Okay. They despised in verse 24 in chapter 106. They despised the pleasant land and they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in their lands. They, and look, this is what they did, and think about what they're doing in our country. They joined themselves also to Baal and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break up in them. So there you go. They left God. So what did God do? He gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. I looked at Trump yesterday with that Muslim, which we found out is mostly Jew. Could be Jew. But either way it goes, they're all together. But how proud he was of him and how he's going to be working with him and everything. And I was thinking, after y'all just sat and said that he was, you know, communist and everything, and how people can't see through this, I have no idea. But all it is us being handed over to our enemy, really. And with the things that's happening in the country and whatnot, I mean. So going back to Psalm 107. In verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Isn't that beautiful? When they cried unto him. You know, and this story about Torben, about him being in jail. Let me tell you something. You really discover how people are when they suffer. You know, you take away something from them and you watch their reaction. You'll see how people are when they suffer. Some people will go back to their vomit and will go back to their old habits and ways because they are not strong enough to suffer. But there's others that will go more towards God, and that's what Torben did. So we're all going to be sifted like wheat, Brad. We're all going to be tested. And he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't that beautiful? Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord within their trouble, and he still saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that something? So my encouraging word to all of you guys today is to be grateful and be thankful this holiday season. You know, I showed you the other day how Florida, you know, is, you know, making all these Jewish holidays and, you know, giving them off for their holidays and whatnot. And that's why I was telling you the other day as well, I will not give up our Christian holidays. Don't get mad at me for celebrating Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter. I'm not giving up none of them. I'm thanking the Lord that we even still have this. And then even on Canva, not Canva, on Google, when you type in, this is something that just happened this week, and I believe it's because of where the country's headed, being handed over type of deal. I typed in, what scripture talks about this or whatever? And now they give you Christian scriptures and Muslim scripture, Quran. I'm like, wow. You know, that is a new development, you know, type of deal. So anyways, let's enjoy this holiday season. All of this stuff happening with the Epstein Files just happens to be happening during Christmas. You can't make that up either, you know. So don't get distracted and, you know, swept away with this river that we know that they want to do with the Noahide laws, you know, is to drown all of the Christians out in this river. Don't do that, being drowned out with propaganda. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look forward for his wonderful grace. When things on earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. All right, well, let's go back over here. I still want to remind you guys, you got 75% off of the bookstore. Okay, now, is there anybody that needs prayer? Because what I'm going to do is go ahead and take this time before Thanksgiving and pray with you guys. First, let me pray for all of you guys as a whole. Let me stop this. And then, Pastor, I know you're watching. If you want to come over here and say hi to everybody, that would be great, because I'm over here at the office. Let me go ahead and pray for everybody that's watching this. And I just discovered that on our website, we have people from all over the world that watch these broadcasts, and that we have a huge audience in China. So I'm pretty shocked about it. For one thing, I didn't think they would allow people to see anything of America, but it is what it is, you know. But I want to pray for you guys, because maybe there's a couple of things I'm feeling in my spirit right now is Maybe there's somebody that does not even understand about Jesus that's watching. You know, maybe they don't even know what being saved is. So I want to address that for a minute. Being saved means that you give your life to the Lord. It's not just a quick salvation, you know, where you just say, Lord, please come in my heart. It's not like that. It's a change of ownership, really. Because you're surrendering what you always thought of yourself and what your life and your future and everything over to God. Oh, here comes Pastor. Oh, excuse me. Over to God. Hello, sir. And so you're giving your life to him as you accept what he did for you. It's a beautiful exchange. You see what I mean? So let's go ahead and deal with that in case there's somebody that maybe wants to make sure that they're ready to meet the Lord when their time comes. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just pray right now for everybody that's watching, God, and there may be people watching that want to make sure that they're ready to meet you, Lord, but don't really know if they are. So, Lord, I just want to lay them down right now, God, at the foot of the cross, Lord, asking you to just have your blood flow over them in the spirit, Lord. And I pray that every demon from hell right now would just bow down to the will of the living God, and that they will not interfere with this person that's making this commitment right now, God. And Lord, I just pray that angels would come down and help them and to fight that warfare and to help them to be able to be successful, Lord. So just repeat after me. If that's you and you don't know, just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you are God and that you are real, Lord. I accept what you did for me on the cross. And I ask you, Lord, to please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me clean, Lord. Heal my heart and deliver me and set me free, Lord. Show me who I am in you, my new life. And I surrender all to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. What a big step you just made, because you stepped out of the ownership of Satan into the ownership of God. And now the angels are working on your behalf. The angels are rejoicing in heaven. It's a beautiful thing what just happened. So, Pastor, would you like to say hi to everybody?
Good morning, everybody. If everybody can hear me from over here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess I got made quick notes here. First of all, we've had a good week, but I'm having some struggles with some things here on the farm. Just the big changes, and we know that there's so many changes going on in the world. Well, those will reflect in your home. And here it's not just the home, it's the farm and the equipment, the cars, you know, everything, you know, and just so we're going through a lot of changes here, you know, making decisions what we have to do and how to downsize or here or downsize there. And so just a lot of changes. And so I didn't really have no message this week. It was hard to come up with something. But what I want to say is I'm so thankful for a forgiving father and wife. that puts up with me. And, you know, and all my shortcomings and, you know, just the things that she puts up with me, and the Lord does too. And so I just want to, I'm very thankful for that. In Romans 3, 23, 22, it says, so thankful for what Jesus Christ did for me and all that. But it says, I'm getting my scriptures mixed up. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in him. So, you know, I'm just so thankful for his righteousness, you know, through God.
And yes.
I'm thankful for a new life in Christ, Ephesians 5:14-32. But in verse 32, it says that, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And that's my wife. She's very tender-hearted toward me, you know, my shortcomings and stuff. And, you know, and I'm thankful, you know, for her truly today. And I'm, you know, when I'm beat down and all that, you know, Ephesians 4:1-7 is talking about, well, actually all the way down, most of it's all about the unity of the Spirit. And I just want to say that June fits so many of these attributes that it's talking about here. And so I want to read this, Ephesians 4:1, you know, and this is Paul, and just, you know, I'm just saying, I'm saying this, that I'm the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And this says that word vocation means that inner call, that inner summons, you know, and I believe June has that, you know, and that, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, you know, that for long suffering, you know. So I'm just so thankful, you know, she fits these characteristics, these attributes, enduring, ever enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, you know, and we're so much one in accord with stuff going on in the world and in the Spirit, you know, and there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, you know. And I've always wondered about my calling and still wonder today, you know. And she's always picking me up and, you know, encouraging me. And one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you all. You know, he's in all of us, not just me or June, but all of us here. You know, our Father's with us in Christ, you know. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of gift of God. And let me tell you, June's got a lot of grace. And I'm so thankful for that. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, you know. We all have gifts, and June has lots of those gifts, and I see him every day. Now that he ascended, that is, it be that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's June right there. The perfecting, the equipping. She's equipping us for such a time as this. And, you know, for the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up. You know, she builds us all up. And trust me, she spends a lot of time that you guys don't know about. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I hope everybody else is thankful. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we all that perfect, you know, in the unity, but that perfect man, that mature man, you know, we're all every day, the more we read and study, you know, we become more perfect in Christ, more mature in Christ, you know, of the fullness of Christ. And these next verses, you know, they talk about, and I think last week I said that Ephesians 4, you know, that's a new life in Christ. And I mentioned, you know, I don't think I read it all, but, you know, this is where we all need to be. You know, it's about the unity of the Spirit in Christ, you know, this new life we have. But speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, that which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're all in each other. We're in unity in each other, you know, lifting each other up, building each other up. And so, you know, I'm just so thankful for the Lord and the wife he's given me that fits so many of these attributes and characteristics. And so I just want to let that go. And I just pray that everybody will have a great Thanksgiving and a thankful heart, you know, to the Lord and to the people around you, even when they fall short sometimes. And, you know, you just got to keep picking them up and lifting them up and carry on, because we're in such a time as that. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to tell you guys that what he's saying is we sold our truck. We got rid of our truck. You know, we're downsizing, like the Lord is instructing us to do. We're downsizing, so now we only have the one vehicle. And if y'all would pray for me, I do need a car, but I want something, you know, that's paid off. I don't want to have a car note again. But anyway, and the fact that we've been out of town and stuff, so he hasn't been able to prepare a sermon. You know, he gets his sermons from God, so he spends a lot of time with God during the week and stuff. But we've had a very busy week and whatnot, and we've actually had a lot of turmoil in our family, you know, that's taken a lot of our attention and stuff too. So anyway, so I was able to put this together, and I'm very thankful, you know, for that. And I'm thankful for your compliments. But anyway, I do want to tell you guys, talking about this afternoon at 12, I am interviewing Dewey. Y'all remember Dewey? I've interviewed him a few times, but he's the one that told us that, cause I interviewed him before July 4th, and he was saying that he believed that in July 4th was, going into the kind of like the, he doesn't believe in the 7-year tribulation, but kind of like the second part of it. That's the great, there you go, the great tribulation, and that things were going to shift and change after the fourth. And it surely has. So he is actually traveling today. So he is going to call me, and we're going to be live at noon, and he's going to talk to you guys about what he believes has happened since then, because now we're almost into, you know, December. And so it's been several months since we was with him last time. So that's going to be at noon today. So is there anybody else out there that needs prayer or anything? I would love to pray for you before I get off here and prepare for that interview at 12. But that's what I was saying about Pastor is he just does not feel comfortable doing this if he cannot do it right, basically is what it is. And so, but I'm thankful that God, you know, opened it up so that I was able to be with you guys and talk about this, you know, about the grateful heart and everything. It all worked out, in other words. I'm thankful for you guys. Look what they're saying, Pastor. I'm so thankful for you both to be in my life. And yes, we're thankful for you guys. We really are. We love you guys. But if y'all don't need prayer, then I'll just get off here and I will see you guys at noon. We love you guys. And thank you for being with us as we're downsizing. You know, for what's coming and whatnot. Okay, so we'll talk to you guys later. Pastor, would you pray for all of us? All right, let's pray, guys.
All right. Father God, we just thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you for everything that you provide for us in these times, Lord. We thank you that you give us a grateful heart, Lord.
Yes,
and, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus, that come to make a way for us, Lord. And we just ask that you would bless us, bless each person here, Lord, with a thankful heart and having a good Thanksgiving, Lord, and would bring people to our homes or where they may just show up and we can have a Thanksgiving with each other, Lord, and just a blessed Thanksgiving, Lord. And I pray this for each person here, Lord, and wonderful holidays and a safe journey if they're traveling.
Yes, Lord.
All that to you, Lord. So we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I do want to encourage you guys as well that for Thanksgiving this year, make just a little bit extra and say this prayer. This is what me and Pastor prayed. Lord, we're going to cook a big meal. And anybody that you bring them on. You know, we're going to make a way and then you can bring whoever you want to eat it. Right, Pastor?
Amen.
So, you know, y'all do that and see if anybody shows up. I mean, see, you know, what kind of doors that God's going to open there. Because we see what's happening out there. Amen. So we're just grateful to be with you guys. We're grateful to have this ministry and we're grateful to have you in our life. We've never been about numbers. So don't never look at the numbers, think that's affecting us at all. It is not. God is going to do what he's going to do. Amen. All right. So everybody have a good day. God bless you and happy Thanksgiving. God bless you guys.